And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. The word gets translated "blessed are" throughout, and it's a word that, again, one of those dusty old religious words. There's a paraphrase from Steve Garnes Holmes that brings out some of the different shadings of what that word means. And so we'll be reading, alternating between the New Revised Standard and the paraphrase. And which one did you want to do? All right. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Treasured are they who have nothing to offer. They live in the realm of God.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Happy are those who know deep sorrow, for they will know deep joy.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Fortunate are those who are powerless, for the world will be given to them.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Beloved are they who hunger and thirst to be close to God, for God alone shall fill their lives.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy.
Blessed are those who are gentle, for they will always have a soft place to land.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Gifted are they who are transparent to love, for they will see God in every moment.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God.
Treasured are they who bring reconciliation. They are the children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Warmly embraced are those who suffer in order to love. They live in the heart of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Our bishop, his name is Sudarshana Devadar, and he is, as you might guess, from India. He is a man of extraordinary gift, an extraordinary heart, extraordinary spirit. And like many bishops from the developing world, he has some delightfully formal ways of speaking when he has either his literal bishop hat on or a metaphorical bishop hat on, and he's doing official stuff. Where a Western bishop will greet a gathered crowd of churchy people with a hearty, "Good evening," Bishop Suda will add, "I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, early on, those of us clergy with a slightly snarky bent would make Gollum impressions, "Precious," and quietly giggle at our brilliance. If a Euro-American bishop has just been to a conference, say, in Texas, she'll say, "The folks in Houston all say howdy." Bishop Suda would say, in language reminiscent of the Apostle Paul, I bring you greetings from the saints in Houston. And early on, those of us clergy with a slightly snarky bent would roll our eyes at the formality of it all, and someone would inevitably quip, wait, there are saints in Houston? Well, after a few years of this, I have three observations. One is those of us clergy with a slightly snarky bent, well, we are really acting like jerks. Two, there are powerful truths in that formal language that the bishop uses. Yes, there are saints in Houston. There are saints in Texas. In fact, all those gathered faithful are the saints. All those learning, however falteringly, to love and be loved by God. And despite some of us acting like jerks, there were even saints at that meeting in Massachusetts. Saints are not about a strict list of otherworldly or pious behaviors. The saints are about connecting to the source of life and love, and learning to live and love out of that source. Metaphorical solar cells, so to speak. For Christians, that means learning of and learning and leaning on the God we've experienced in this wandering rabbi from Galilee. And three, the saints ain't them. They is us. We are saints too. Which is kind of terrifying to hear, yes? Saint Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. That's what saints are about. Saints show us how to live fully, how to love fully, and they're the same thing. Fully alive is fully a love. I'm making that new name up, our new word up, and fully a fire. James Baldwin said, choose life rather than safety. Being a saint is being fully alive. A reading from Revelation is a vision of the saints, the great cloud of witnesses, who will be greeted by God and every tear wiped away. We also read from the Beatitudes, which are about what it is being a saint in the present tense. The Beatitudes. We don't know what to do with the Beatitudes, because we read them as moderns, like you read a textbook. And we hear, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger. We think it's a list of behaviors that we're called to do. And then we start going, oh, gosh, I was only meek twice today. I better work on that. And have I been persecuted for righteousness' sake this week? I'd better go practice. And then I'm imagining a Beatitudes gymnasium where there's a drill sergeant there to bark at you. Yo, be meeker! Peacemakers, down and give me 20. But the Beatitudes are not orders or expectations or exhortations. They are promises. They are blessings. They're a promise because these things that Jesus speaks of, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart. These are things that will arise when you are fully alive and fully a love and fully a fire. If you live fully out of love, you will be merciful. You will be pure in heart. You will become a peacemaker. And while worldly leaders may not think much of any of these descriptions, I'm imagining Donald Trump looking at a meek person and going, "Meek is for total losers." But Jesus looks at that and says, "Blessed are you." Another thing about saints, and I didn't notice until I read an article last week about it, saints in Scripture are never singular. No one talks about a saint in Scripture. It's always the saints. It's always plural. Saints are saints in community. Have you ever tried being meek alone in your room? Or being a peacemaker alone in your room? Being merciful alone in your room? That's one of the reasons we have church. Church is where we learn how to be saints together. Maybe this is a Beatitudes gym. A place where we learn to live and love fully. One of my favorite saints is a Lutheran pastor named Nadia Boltz-Weber. Any of you have taken the Monday Companions class have seen the pictures of her. She's about 6'4", with sleeve tats to here and lots of piercings and stuff. And she has a church in Colorado. And she just gets described by most reviewers as the Lutheran who will always be cooler than you and me. Her church is called House for All Sinners and Saints. And I like that name for two reasons. Actually, three reasons. The first is the acronym of the church. House for All Sinners and Saints spells out approximately half-ass. Which I've never said from the pulpit before. Call the bishop, it'll be fine. Which says a profound truth that the church is made up of and is for all sinners and saints. And you know what? We're all the same people. We are all each sinners and saints. We are each mixed up bags of meat and soul, transcendent hope, and the most base desires and emotions. And God loves all of it and all of us and each of us. House for All Sinners and Saints reminds us that church is not an ark of the righteous floating upon the sea of the damned. We'll leave that for the Calvinists. It's a house for all of us. It's what Jesus meant when he said, in God's house there are many dwelling places. There is a place for everyone. And I think this church, this community of faith, Essex Center United Methodist Church, at its best, is a half-assed church. Welcoming, risking change, risking being open, and change, as Barb shared so beautifully last week, is scary and anxious and adventurous and wonderful. And when you're moving into unknown territory, that means you'll have arguments and disagreements, sure, but the saints stick with it. And the saints stick with each other. Because while they may not always agree on the path, they have a common destination. And that is life and love in God, what Jesus called the kingdom of God. A church leaning into the dangerous, uncharted future has two dangerous prayers. The first one is, Lord, Send us the people that nobody else wants. Send us the people who have been told you don't count. Send us the people that somebody else has said, you're not a child of God, you're not beloved, you're not lovable. And the second dangerous prayer is, Lord, send us to the places where you are already working in the world. We don't have to invent ministry. God's already at work in some of the roughest places. And our prayer might be, if we're a half-assed church, to move into those places where God is already working. We are the saints for this time and place. And we come surrounded by what the author of Hebrews calls that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. And we all have people in mind who have been that for us. One of my saints is my grandpa, Grandpa Barker, my mom's father. He was fired from his Baptist church in Ohio for working to integrate it in the late 1940s. That wasn't done back then. But from him, I get a slight rebellious streak and a faith that tries to integrate all God's children. I also get from him a guy who was a chemistry professor and an anthropology professor, a faith that tries to integrate the best of science and human reason. That's one of my saints, the small s saints that went before me. There are also big capital S saints that I really love and inspire me as well. From St. Peter, I get permission to be impetuous and say stupid things. From St. Thomas, I get a healthy sense of rationalism. From Isaiah, a healthier sense of the transcendent and a vision of God's dream for our future. From Mary Magdalene, I get a calling to break the cultural norms and boundaries for those considered outsiders, to welcome them into the household of God. Who are your saints, small s or big s? If you could name a saint from your life and one word or a short phrase of what you get from them. Might have been your grandma, might have been a teacher, might have been someone in your life.
Betty Tucker.
Betty Tucker. What's the word, the adjective or the noun that would go with that? Faith. All right.
My father, overcomer.
Overcomer. Saints from your life. Your grandmother? Do you have an adjective or word?
Universal acceptor.
Universal acceptor. That's wonderful. Thank you. Your mother. What did you learn from her? What's the word?
She loved to laugh.
She loved to laugh. Grandmother Hattie.
Humility.
Humility.
Friend Donna.
Friend, I'm sorry.
My friend Donna, loving and giving.
Loving and giving. Your friend Donna. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. So I invite all of us, as we go from this place, to go fully alive, fully a love, and fully a fire. In the name of the wandering Galilean, amen.